Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Last session on this small series, on this small book of Philemon. Turn with me to Philemon, and today we are reading from verse 17 to the end. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Oh, dear Lord, we come once again to meditate on your word that gives life, your word that pierces hearts. Your word that convicts of sin, your word that uplifts the downcasted. We come to your word and we ask you that you will speak to us this evening. Minister to our hearts. I pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The last time that I went to Brazil about 2 years ago, there was a small experience that we had. And as I tell you this story, some of you are going to feel like uncomfortable. And it's to the point. So we went to visit the aunt of my sister-in-law. So it's the aunt of my brother's wife. They lived in Brasilia, close to my parents' house. And obviously, the whole family was together, my brother and his wife, Melissa and I with the kids. And we went all to visit this aunt of my sister-in-law. And this was really great. We had lunch and we met, and she was just a great host. Made us feel so welcome, and to the extent that after lunch, she made us feel so at home that she offered, like, "You ate a lot. Why don't you go and take a nap in the spare room?" And tell you what, both my mom and I was like, "Yeah, that sounds like a good idea." And so we went to the spare room and we took a nap. She made us feel like we were her real family. Now as we were there taking a nap on this person that we met that day, in this room taking a nap. And now there is a culture aspect because Melissa is like, "This is weird. You cannot go and take a nap onto someone you just met today. How can that happen? My point in this is that she treated us as if we were her own family. She made us feel so, and just, you don't need to be scared. If I come and visit you, I'm not going to take a nap in your in your house. But she made us feel so comfortable, as if we were really part of the family, that we were comfortable enough to go and take a nap after lunch in this person that we just met that day. So I entitled this message, "Receive Him as You Would Receive Me." And Paul continues the appeal to Philemon regarding Onesimus. And the first thing I want to point out, last week we spoke about how love was a big motivation. But I want to start today asking us to consider that the gospel was a big motivation in Paul's appeal to Philemon. Now, you have come to Central and we try to have the gospel being preached in every sermon. We preachers have different styles, but generally, you know, at some point towards the end, we try to bring in the gospel. And so, but this time, I'm like, I can't do it at the end. It's right there in the beginning. So I don't know if I'm committing exegetical fault here, but listen to how the language is entrenched in his request, and I believe that the gospel is part of the reasoning that Paul is bringing this request in. If you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I want to point to you that I think that Paul is making an appeal based on a gospel reality. If you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Doesn't this immediately trigger your gospel remembrance? Don't these words remind you of the gospel? Just as Jesus appears in front of the Father and says of the sinners, "I paid for his sins, receive him as you would receive me." He continues to use language of the gospel. If he has wronged you in any way. Now, this word, the if is a little bit, it's like, what do you mean if he has wronged you in any way? Charge it to my account. Just as Jesus takes on our debt, he says, "I will pay it. It is finished. I have paid it." So I don't think this is, I don't think this is just coincidence. I think that the language that Paul is using is communicating this gospel reality. That I don't think he's just using those words, "I will repay it." He even starts, just as if you consider me your partner. Partner in what? Partner in ministry. What is he bringing his attention to? The word their partner is that word of koinonos, where we get the word koinonia or fellowship in. Paul is reminding him of their shared unity in Christ. He's using substitute language. Receive him as you would receive me. That means full forgiveness as a beloved, as we mentioned last week. Paul is appealing to this gospel reality that they both have in Christ Jesus and say, look, if he has wronged you, I will pay it. And I am sure that as Philemon read those words, he would he would be reminded of, ah, oh, Jesus has paid for my sins. Just as Onesimus couldn't stand in front of Philemon just like that, Paul is like, charge it to my account. I will repay it. Don't worry, I will repay it. If he has wronged you in anything, charge it to me. Hold me accountable. So, this appeal to Philemon, I believe it's entrenched in this great reality of gospel unity. Gospel, the wording is all there. And I don't believe that it is just coincidence. But secondly, he acknowledges a debt. There is an acknowledgement of a debt. Although Paul is asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus and to take him back and to embrace him as a beloved brother, there is an acknowledgement of wrongdoing, of a debt. It will be hard for reconciliation if there was no acknowledgement at all of wrongdoing. Paul doesn't just ignore and says to Philemon, hey, take Onesimus back. I'm ordering you. That is it. Full stop. He's saying, whatever he has done wrong, and he knows there was something that was done wrong, charge it to me. There is something that is not settled yet. Paul acknowledges there's something that happened. You know, we spoke about, if you weren't here in the previous weeks, it seems like Onesimus stole from Philemon, took something. We don't know what it was, what kind of value, but he took something, he stole something, and he ran away. There is a debt that is there. But the debt is not ignored. But it's Paul is saying, charge it to me. One commentator puts it, the profession of conversion is no reason why you should not pay your debts. Keep your promises, be diligent at your occupation, or make amends for previous wrongdoing. Such profession is an additional reason why you should do all these things. Christianity is nothing if it is not ethical. So it is not just no acknowledgement of the wrongdoing. There is a debt. Something must be done about it. But Paul appeals to, okay, there is a debt. He did wrong, but I want you to charge that to me. And so we must not think that the book of Philemon just gives us license to just ignore all wrongdoing. And that's not what the Bible is doing. That's not what Paul is doing. There's just a bigger there is a bigger scene here at play. And the Bible gives us instruction regarding making things right with one another. Matthew 18, we know this. If your brother sins against you, Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. You know, the Bible gives us clear instructions in how to deal with misunderstanding. We just sometimes don't listen. We just don't act on it. I saw the other day, it was a shirt, a picture of this guy with this t-shirt. And it said this in the back, "You're not crazy, you're just obedient." I like that. In a world like ours, obedience would look like crazy. So, we see Paul acknowledges he's a debt, but he says it, charge it to my account. In fact, the word that is used there in the Greek is impute it to me. Again, that's gospel language. It's like, yeah, charge it to my account. But thirdly, I want to highlight a few things that Paul gives a fatherly reminder. As I was going through this book of Philemon, I feel like we could have a whole complete different series on just leadership principles from this book, because Paul is honestly so brilliant. So let me highlight a few things that Paul does here, reminding as a fatherly figure who loves Philemon. Again, keeping the gospel at the center, he goes on to say in verse 19, "I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it." So he emphasized, I write it with my own hand. He mentioned that he was an older, he's old now, and he's writing it with his own hand. And then he gives this gentle but forceful reminder to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Paul is like, just remember, you owe me. Just remember, you owe me. So if you're going to keep Onesimus accountable, just remember, not to say nothing that you owe me. Don't be harsh on him. Spurgeon says that Paul had been the means of Philemon's conversion, so he was immeasurably in debt to the apostle. But Paul only gently reminds him of the fact as a reason why he should deal kindly with Onesimus for his sake. Paul reminds Philemon, you wouldn't be where you are in the gospel if it wasn't for me. Don't forget about that debt. I write this with my own hand. I will repay it. But then he says, refresh my heart in Christ. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. It's like Paul is saying, be kind. I heard that you refreshed the hearts of the saints earlier on in verse 3. He's like, I heard of your love, and I heard how you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Refresh my heart also in doing me this favor. Be kind to me during this service. You have refreshed others, then surely you will not let me be without refreshment now. And then he says this phrase, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Now, this is intimate language. We don't talk like this with everyone. It's like this. Imagine you were like, Kahiso, I heard that you are a great hostess. Host me. I want some benefit from you. It's like saying, Peter, I heard that you are a great comforter to many believers. I want to be comforted by you. I want some benefit from you. Pastor Charles, I heard of great words of wisdom that you have given to the people. I want some benefit from you. This is almost he's saying, hey, I want something from you. Edify me. Help me. You know? You can look at each other here and to the person next to you and say, yeah, I want some benefit from you. I want some benefit from you. God has gifted you in a way. I want some benefit from you. He goes on to say, I'm confident of your obedience. He knows Philemon will do this. That's why he writes. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than what I say. Some believe that this is referring to Onesimus, maybe freedom. We're not completely certain of that. And then he adds another reason for why Philemon should listen. It's like, prepare a guest for me. I'm coming to check. Prepare a guest room for me. I'm coming to check. I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. I remember this one time when my brother and I, we were small, and my mom is giving us orders, go clean this and clean this stuff, clean that side, clean your room. It's like we have visitors today. And then my brother, very little at that time, go and tells my mom, are they going through the whole house? but if Philemon knows that Paul is coming, he's more likely to do, because he knows Paul is going to come and he's going to ask, hey, how is Onesimus doing? how are things going? And there is this little phrase that sometimes we maybe just take for granted. Through your prayers. Through your prayers. Communal prayer for us not to be forgetting that, yes, as we come together and we pray, God can use those prayers to bring about change, to bring about difference, to bring about deliver. Paul recognized that although he was in chains at that time, yes, he was hoping that even through the prayers of God's people that he would be released and that he would be able to go to Philemon. Through your prayers. So there's this sense of accountability. I'm coming to check. Make sure you do what I'm telling you to do. I'm sure, I'm confident that you're going to obey. Prepare a room for me. I'm coming. So as we end this book, I want us to just be reminded of the gospel. That you and I are a little bit like Onesimus. We have fallen short. We transgress. But thanks be to God. Thank you. Thank Christ for There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Justification, we are in Christ and therefore accepted before God. I mentioned in the past 2 weeks, and I'm going to mention it again. The only reason we can have a letter such this is because of the gospel. It's because a master and a slave are united in Christ and can be reconciled and can be pointed to how Jesus paid for their sins, and so therefore there can be reconciliation. There can be forgiveness because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you because Christ has paid for our debt. So big a debt. Thank you that we are completely forgiven. Thank you that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we can have reconciliation and forgiveness. And thank you that you do not deal with us according to our transgressions, but because of the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ in our stead, dying in our place, we stand forgiven before the eyes of a perfect God. Oh, what a gift. So, Lord, remind us of the gospel as we deal with our fellow brothers and sisters. Help us to have this gospel reality constantly in front of our eyes. To forgive just as we have been forgiven. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.